It is good to have you here today. Any update on Betty, Sam?
Well, thank you, Houston Desert.
Okay, well, good. Glad to hear that she's doing well. One day, a 9-year-old boy asked his father while fishing on their favorite lake a profound question. Dad, if there were 3 frogs sitting on a branch that overhung a pond, and 1 frog decided to jump into the pond, how many frogs would be left on the branch? The dad replied, 2. No, the son replied, there wouldn't be 2. Let me ask you again. If 3 frogs are sitting on the branch that hung over a pond, and 1 decided to jump into the pond, how many frogs are left on the branch? Oh, the dad said, I get it. If 1 decides to jump, the others would follow, so that would leave none on the branch. The boy said, no, Dad, there would still be 3 frogs sitting on the branch because the 1 frog only decided to jump but never followed through. Now, my first reaction to this little riddle was, how silly. But upon further contemplation, I found myself agreeing with this 9-year-old boy when I paused to consider how many New Year's resolutions I or others have made in past years, only to come back the following year to find we are still sitting on the same branch. So this story led me to think about what is the difference between purposing to do something and actually doing something. I have to admit that I've made some pretty good decisions in my life while sitting on the branch, but I've also, in some of those decisions, have remained sitting right there. So as we stand at the dawn of the new year, 2018, and as we are finishing off these last few hours of 2017, it seemed like a natural time of introspection, where we might pause and question ourselves, are there good decisions I have made in 2017, but I'm still sitting on the branch? And just maybe in 2018, it's time to get off the branch and into the pond. Or maybe to look at it a different way. Here we sit on the branch above the pond with the new year approaching. And as the new year comes our way, have I paused to evaluate what is the purpose for which I want to live in this coming year? In other words, when I get to New Year's Eve of 2019, 365 days from now, what is it that I want to be able to look back on in 2018 and know that I have actually jumped into the pond to get it done? You know, too often in the human experience, we set out with a purpose, a decision made to do something, only to find that our dream evaporates into a fairy tale because we do not act upon the decision that we have made. So let me exhort you a little bit this morning on how to be a person who moves from the branch to getting into the pond. As you consider your New Year's resolution, whether they be a spiritual commitment, a financial responsibility, the kicking of a bad habit, or the starting of a good new habit, I want to challenge you to do more than decide. I want to challenge you to do more than sit on the branch. I want to challenge you to get into the pond. With this in mind, I want to encourage you as we approach 2018 to live with a purpose, prioritize your goals, and develop a plan to get off the branch and into the pond. Now, let me try and make this into a make-it-real type of statement. I told Linda a few weeks ago about the New Year's season was upon us, and we could all tell that the New Year's season was upon us because as you watch TV, it's filled with commercials of diets and exercise equipment. And so as you watch TV, you know that the New Year's is here because they know this is the time when people are making that new commitment. And matter of fact, I walked into Costco Friday, and as I walked into the Costco, what was sitting right there in the doorway staring me in the face? A treadmill. That's right. A treadmill, one of those exercise workout equipment machines that are advertised on TV. And personally, you know, I've used these machines in the past, and I can testify that they are probably the most expensive clothes hangers we have ever owned in our household. Now, let's pause for a moment and think about this concept of purpose, priorities, and plan. How do they work together to help us move from the branch and into the pond? So let's say one of my New Year's resolution, and this is just a for instance, maybe, possibly, it could be. Let's say one of my New Year's resolution is I purpose to lose 15 pounds in 3 months to improve my health. Now, that is what I call a good goal. It's a good purpose statement. It's a good decision to make in life. So the question becomes, now that I have decided on the purpose while sitting on the branch, how do I get into the pond? Friends, if we identify a purpose, we don't want to still be sitting on that branch when we come to New Year's Eve of 2019. So what must then happen? Well, the next step is we must prioritize. What I need to do to achieve my purpose. That's what I need to do. I need to make some priority decisions in my life to achieve my purpose. You see, while sitting on the branch, I decided on the purpose, but that's not a decision enough to make me move forward. So what I need to do is prioritize in my life what will help me get off the branch. Because I know a little bit about what it takes to lose 15 pounds in 3 months, I have to develop a priority list of things I need to do. So as I think about my priority list, number one, I need to reduce my calorie intake each day. That will help me achieve my purpose. Number two, more physical activity to burn more calories. That would be a priority for me to set. Number three, my calorie intake should focus more on healthy calories and nutrients than on the kind that I really like. Number four, maybe network with friends who have the same goal as me so that we can encourage each other in the journey. Number five, I need to check my progress each week to see if I'm actually achieving my purpose. So I have my purpose, lose 5 pounds in 3 months, or 15 pounds in three, or change the goal and make it easier. That's always a good one. 15 pounds in 3 months so that I might be more healthy. And then I set some priorities. Now that I have my priorities set, I need to ask myself, what is the plan? What are the specific steps I need to take to fulfill my priority? So I'll just use one of them as an example. Number one, reduce my calorie intake each day. So the question is, how do I make that happen? How do I get from the branch and into the pond? Now, my plan may look a little different than your plan because we all kind of have individual soft spots in our diet. So where would I go in my plan? Well, my plan might look something like this. Number one, eliminate the bowl of ice cream every night before I go to bed. That would be a specific step that I could take in regard to a priority. Second, get rid of the candy jar in my office. I say it's there for the kids, but we all really know why it's there. Third, graze on healthy snacks throughout the day rather than starve myself, because when I get to the evening and I'm so hungry, I then eat things that are bad for me. Fourth, don't go into the break room. Now, this isn't particularly for me, but maybe for you. Don't go into the break room for coffee at work where people bring the homemade cinnamon rolls without raisins and donuts. Now, as you can see, as we purpose, we set priorities, and then we develop a plan, and that plan becomes our action points on how to move from the branch into the pond. And I want to mention that this kind of thinking, this kind of thought process works not just for diets. Maybe there's a spiritual goal that you have in your life. And you purpose in your life to do something for God or to grow in some way in your spiritual life. And you want something to happen in you, within you, or you want to perform a service for somebody else. You start out by making that purpose statement. I want to know more about what the Bible has to say. And then you understand that there's some priorities that you need to set to become more familiar with God through His Word. I need to spend some time in God's Word. I need to make myself available to good teaching. I need to listen to maybe music that encourages my heart. And so you can set some of these priorities, and then you take another step down and you say, okay, if being in God's Word is something that will help me understand God better, when and where am I going to do that? How often am I going to do that? So that at the end of every day, you can come back and measure whether you've accomplished what you want to accomplish in achieving that purpose in your life. Now, as we approach the new year, there may be a myriad of things or one or two things in your life that you say, this really needs to be a New Year's resolution for me. I want to encourage you, don't just sit on the branch. Whatever it might be that God has led you to, whether it's something in your secular life or your spiritual life, your financial life, your relationship life, whatever that might be, I want to encourage you to get off the branch. Set some priorities, establish a plan, and get into the pond. Because I don't want you to be in the same place on New Year's Eve of 2019, as we approach 2019. Now, many of these thoughts I share with you this morning came from two scripture readings I engaged in this week, from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which we read this morning, and 1 Kings chapter 3. But I'll only have time to discuss one of the passages this morning, so I want to walk you through some of the thoughts from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 14, which is on the back of your bulletin, and we've already read it this morning, so I'm not going to reread it now. But what I'd like to point out to you at this, these words from Ecclesiastes 3 were penned by King Solomon. He's the third king of the nation of Israel, appointed by God to rule over the nation. King Solomon is the son of David and the grandson of King Saul. King Solomon was born in about 1035 BC, and he was about 18 years old when he ascended to the throne of the king of Israel. In 1 Kings 3 is the story of how and why God granted to King Solomon a wise heart and mind in ruling his people. Solomon, as you know, is known as the wisest man to have ever lived. And that wisdom was given and granted to him directly by God as a request that he made of God. But before I get sidetracked on Solomon's wisdom, I want to turn our attention to Ecclesiastes 3. In this passage, I want us to see that God has an eternal purpose, that God has eternal priorities, and God has an eternal plan for us. I want us to grasp the reality that regardless of where we are at in our stage of life, whether we are young and small, whether we are middle-aged, or whether we are old, as long as we have life and breath on earth, God has a purpose for us. He has priorities that He wants us to establish, and He has a plan that He wants us to follow. God wants us in our walk with Him to get off the branch and into the pond of doing His will in our lives. Notice as we look at verses 1 through 8 of this chapter that you notice in many places throughout those first 8 verses, they begin that there is a time to kill, a time to weep, a time to this, a time to that. And so much of the conversation in these first 8 verses deals with our life upon earth, the cycles of life that we go through, the temporal life that we experience as we journey through this world.
And if that was all there was to life, was what we have listed in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 1 through 8, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, we would probably find that life is kind of futile and doesn't have a lot to offer, and that it's shallow, and that we are just going through motions with no purpose and no reason to be there. But as we read through this chapter, we come down to verse 9, and notice I kind of isolated it on the back of your bulletin there, and it says, "What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils?" I mean, all of these eight verses of things that happen in life, what does it all mean? What's its reason? What's its purpose? Is there significance to the fact that we go through cycles in this life and that we journey through this earth? Is it just that we're taking up space and we're just taking up time and we're just existing, just kind of twiddling our thumbs, waiting for heaven to show up where we will be with our God forever? Or is there something greater and more impactful and something far beyond that? As we think about this, it is with this question that Solomon, this question from verse 9, that Solomon transitions into a discussion from earthly things to talking about some heavenly things. In other words, Solomon seeks to help us to see that as much effort and energy that we put into living life on this earth, we ultimately serve a greater purpose than simply living in a temporary place on earth. Notice it says in verse 10 that God has set eternity in the heart of man. Yes, our earthly journey is temporary, but we are called in this earthly journey to make an eternal difference in the lives of people. Here is what Solomon teaches, verse 10. "I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. God set eternity in the heart of man. He has made everything appropriate in his time." In other words, there's reasons for these cycles. There's reason for these things that we may at some point seem mundane and routine and regular cycles of life. But God, he has appointed everything in its time. Next, "He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better than for them to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that everyone who eats and drinks sees good in all his labors. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it, for God has so worked that men should fear him." So in verses 10 through 14 is kind of the answer to, a partial answer to the question of verse 9. Solomon points out our lives have eternal purpose and meaning. In other words, I want you to hear this. In other words, in 2018, God has an eternal purpose in his plan for your existence, for you to fulfill in the next 12 months. Should we not seek to find it and do it? For God has said, eternity into the heart of man. Solomon shares with us three reasons why our lives on earth have eternal value. Number one, our life is a gift from God. And this includes the days, weeks, months that we will spend living and breathing in 2018. "I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. God sets eternity in the heart of man." Now, many people feel in life that life is nothing more than luck and chance being played out in their lives. Their thought is whether life is good or bad, it is all about chance and luck and whatever cards you happen to draw. However, for those of us who know Christ and we know the Creator, we must consider that we as the creation of God, that He created us for a purpose, for a reason. You think about the things that you have done in your life, that you have created in your life. Don't you create things for a purpose, for a reason, to help you accomplish some task, to get something done, to enjoy something more, to make something easier? We create for a purpose, and God creates for a purpose. Note the importance and planning God put into you on the front of your bulletin there, Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. For you were formed, for you form my inward parts, speaking to God, the psalmist writing, speaking to God, for you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. Now just think about those words, that you form me and you wove me in my mother's womb. When somebody weaves a carpet or a rug, there's creativity to it. There's purpose to it. It's just not a hodgepodge of things. It's just not a chance kind of thing that is being met. But there's something that they're thinking about in relationship to the product that they want to create to serve some kind of purpose. And that's how we're spoken of in regard to God's creation of us, that we were formed by Him and that we were woven by Him. And it says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, God in His creation of us and the development of our life for a purpose, that He created us with a wonderful purpose in mind, a means by which He would call us to honor and glorify His name. I was thinking about those that led us in worship today, you know. God gave them great voices and talent musically to be used to lead God's people in worship of Him. But He didn't give us all great voices, did He? He gave some great voices, but to others He gave other skills and abilities and talents. And when we pull those resources as the body of Christ, and we are knit together in the one body of Christ, we become a complete whole that brings honor and glory and praise to His name. Now, God has set eternity in our heart. And as much as I love our musicians and the music that they perform, and they work hard to develop the music and the talent that God has given them, the talent that they have to perform that music was woven into them. It was something that God formed in them because God said, I want to use this person in this way to bring honor and glory to my name and to point others to me. See, the talents and skills and abilities we have aren't things that we created within ourselves. They're things that God created with us, that He wove into us, that he formed in us. And so we can say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it says, wonderful are your works. Now, let me get this straight. Wonderful are your works. God, He created me. God, He formed me. God, He wove me. And the psalmist concludes, wonderful are your works. Do you ever feel like in your life you're just not so wonderful? Bad, 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 bad. You see, because we have been created by God, we have been formed by God, we have been woven by God, and wonderful are His works. And so you are a wonderful creation of the Master. You are a wonderful creation created with special abilities and skills and talents that He has placed in you, in your wiring harness, so so that you can honor Him. You can honor Him, your Creator. He says in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. In other words, God was very precise in what He did in putting us together. It says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And then notice this next statement, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me. So God had a plan. Those plans were to be accomplished in these days. And so my challenge to you is that your life is a gift from God. And you have been created with a purpose versus the idea of being a product of time and chance. You did not crawl out of a primordial ooze somewhere. You are created in the image of God, and you have been specifically designed by Him, given specific abilities, talents, and skills different from other people. And you have been created with destiny and purpose in God's mind, and that includes the year 2018. God has a will for your 2018. And so, as we stand on the brink of 2018, who is it that you are going to decide that you are going to live for? Will it be for His purposes, for what He has created you to do and be, to use the talents and abilities and the skills that He has given to you? Are you willing to sign a blank check to God here today? Pay to the order of God. My life for 2018, whatever He will ask me to do, I will do it. Signed, da-da-da-da. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, familiar verses to you, remind us of the same thought. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man should boast. Notice, though, verse 10 and the parallel that it has to Psalms 139 and the parallel that it has to what Solomon is teaching us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For we are His workmanship. Susan, God's workmanship. Cody, God's workmanship. As we go around the room, we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. In other words, before you were a twinkle in your parents' eyes, God had prepared works beforehand that you should walk in them. Now, the Apostle Paul reinforced Solomon's point, as well as King David, as the psalmist in 139, reinforced Solomon's point. We are the workmanship of God. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared by God beforehand that we should walk in them. We are woven together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our days are ordained by God even before we were yet born. So do we really think that God possibly forgot to plan something for us to do in 2018? That somehow in His calendar, He accidentally skipped over our lives for 2018? Or is there purpose and reason, regardless of age and maturity, is there purpose and reason for which God gives you life and breath in your lungs for 2018? The second thing that we learn about God and our lives through Ecclesiastes 3 is that God links our lives to eternity. God links our lives to eternity for 2018 as well. He has made everything appropriate in his time. He also sets eternity in their heart. Yet so man will not find out the work which God has done from beginning even to the end. Now, those of you that have some Bible background are very familiar with Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. It's there that we come to understand that mankind is created in the image of God and given dominion over all of God's creation on earth. Therefore, we understand that human beings are quite different than the rest of God's animal kingdom. In Ecclesiastes 3, 10 and 11, we see that God has set eternity into the heart of mankind, which is something quite different than what he did in the animal kingdom. This explains why nobody that ever lives upon this earth, including, now get this, including King Solomon in all his splendor, in all his wisdom, in all his wealth, even King Solomon could not be satisfied by earthly things because earthly endeavors could not bring satisfaction to him, even in his great achievements, even in the size of his enormous bank account. All of these things that Solomon acquired in this earth were things that when he died, they would be left behind. They would not be things that he takes with him into eternity. So in other words, this is vanity, vanity of vanities. It's futility in life. Why? Because none of us can take it with us. What is the earth's belongs to the earth. What is heaven's belongs to heaven. That is why life without God is futile. Because everything acquired on earth is left behind. Indeed, the things that we leave behind can be left behind as expressions of love to those that we leave behind on earth, and we leave blessings in their life to continue their earthly journey. And that's a good thing to do, to bless those we love with what we leave behind. But notice, it's left behind. And so, we must ask ourselves, in the cycle of life that we read about in verses 1 through 8 and in the question that is asked in verse 9, and understanding that its eternity is set in our hearts by God, is there not a greater purpose than earthly wealth and greatness for which we then live? That brings with it not something that we leave behind, but something that we take with us. We came into this world with nothing, and we will leave this world only with the treasures that we have gained in Jesus Christ. Think about this. For those who call on the name of the Lord, God will accomplish. Now, think about this. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, God will accomplish his purpose on earth through you. Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? The God in heaven has chosen us to be his partner on earth to accomplish the goal of building his heavenly kingdom, and we get to be part of the workmanship, part of the workers that are God's partner in helping people come to know Jesus and live for Jesus. Ooh. A partner with God. Just try and grasp that for a moment. And that partnership with God isn't because I was kissing up to him and wanting him to choose me. That partnership is because God chose me to be his partner. God chose me to be his partner. What an absolutely special place that is to be. And Jesus reiterates this thought for us in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So there are treasures that can be laid up in heaven, but they're not the things that happen as a result of the cycle of life. They're the things that happen because of God working in us and through us and our surrender to His will. I just want to note, Jesus is not cursing the acquiring of goods or wealth on this earth. Rather, what He is doing is showing us here that there is a better way. In comparison to the goods and wealth that we acquire on earth, which would be a blessing to us, that there is yet a better way. Jesus is helping us to set good priorities. Earthly things fade away and we can't take them with us. Heavenly treasures are for eternity and they're for the glory of God. Thus, our purpose should be to glorify God, not to become distracted by the temporal things. The gold people sell their souls for and kill and destroy others for, it's nothing more than the asphalt material in heaven, because we will walk the streets of gold. And can you imagine selling your soul for asphalt? God has called us to a better way. Don't get me wrong, the things of earth, the goods and wealth of this world have a proper place in our lives and as part of how this life works. However, the things that guide our life and helps us to set good priorities and develop a plan that glorifies God is different than what we are drawn to in the world. The point of treasures in heaven is this: in what you gain, in what you own, in how you acquire it, and in how you invest it and spend it, do you glorify God with it? You see, I guess the bottom line of my spiritual thought process is this: whether you are the widow with two mites or Solomon with great wealth, unfathomable wealth, do you honor God with the 100% that you have? Do you honor God with the 100% of what you have? And I don't just mean that in terms of monetary things. I mean that in terms of how you use your skills, abilities, and talents. Do you give that 100% to the Lord and say, God, if there is a way you want to use what you have invested in me in terms of abilities and skills and talents, I am willing to use them for your honor and glory. I'm willing to invest my time. I'm willing to invest my talents. I'm willing to invest my treasures in building the kingdom of God. Everything that we own in this life is a blessing and a gift that we have received from God. And we should honor Him in ways which recognize Him and recognize His blessings and gifts to us. He has invested those things in us, and now we, as His partner, have opportunity to invest what He has given us into others. Eternity set in our heart. We can be the fingerprints of God on this earth. This includes caring for our family, loving and caring for the saints, reaching out to the world with the gospel. Yes, I do believe that God has a purpose for you in 2018. Whether it's with your widow's mite or your Solomon's wealth, God has a purpose for you in 2018. Finally, we can enjoy life on earth. God has called us to enjoy life on this earth. He says, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. So notice the context here, to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor, it is the gift of God. When we honor God with what we do, when we honor God with our processes, when we honor God with the way in which we do things, God is then released to bless our lives in the way that is consistent with His will. And when we recognize that what we have, what we own, what we've achieved, what we've accomplished has come as a result of doing things God's way with the right heart for the right reason, when we recognize that, then those things that we own become our blessing rather than our curse. It says, verse 14, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear Him. Enjoyment of life is not condemned by God. Some people believe that we have to be miserable in Jesus to be considered faithful to Jesus. But Ecclesiastes 2, verses 24 through 26 say this, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without Him? For to a person who is good in His sight, He has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. Through Him. The enjoyment of life is an important theme in Ecclesiastes, and it's mentioned throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. However, it is important to understand that King Solomon's point is that the practice of pagan hedonism is a vain act, and that uncontrolled eating and drinking and being merry according to the flesh and the sin nature is a debauchery that brings great pain with it and loss of heavenly treasure. And King Solomon also wants us to know we are to enjoy God's blessings and the fruit of our honest labor. But we are to do so by honoring God because we recognize that it is God who gave us the talents, the abilities, the skills in the first place. And we're simply using that which He has bestowed upon us to do that which He has asked us to do. When we recognize and enjoy the blessings we receive in this world, and when we understand that the goods and wealth of this world are gifts from God, but have no eternal value apart from our using our time, talents, and treasure for His glory, we will be driven in our spirit to bless God and others what He has supplied for us. In other words, we will get off the branch and into the pond, and we will honor Him with what we do. Why invest that which we have been blessed with? Why take that and put it where moth and rust will destroy when we can invest in eternal treasures where moth and rust cannot destroy? So in 2018, what is going to be your designated purpose? To live for Him, to let Him have His way in you, to use what God has entrusted to you to be used in a meaningful way for His glory, or to go your own way. Our walk with God, our life on earth, doing the things God has called us to do, sets us in a place where we are connected to God. We are connected to God. We are connected to God's divine purpose for our existence. And that, my friend, is larger than ourselves. If we all do our part of the eternal plan, we will be in the process of constantly scattering seeds, cultivating soil, and bringing forth the harvest to the honor and glory of God. Now, Before I close, I have to give you this one for free thought. Now, I tried to avoid this thought. I set it aside several times in my message, and I don't know why, but God kept saying, no, you need to say this. And so I don't know who out there needs it. Maybe it's somebody who listens to this on the internet. But this is something that God just kept putting on my heart. I threw it out two or three times, but it just kept coming back to me. And so it's a for free thought, has not a lot to do with anything that I've said already today, but I got to get this out to you. When you think about your life with God, is God your first priority in life, or is He your last resort? Is God your first priority, or is He your last resort? How is it that you want to approach 2018 and how you choose to spend its months, its weeks, its days, its hours, its minutes? Is there a conversation that you need to have with God in regard to 2018 and who it is that you will serve? And it is my prayer that when you get to the end of 2018 and you're standing on the brink of 2019, that you will be able to look back over the days of 2018 and say, I got off the branch and into the pond, and I served my Lord faithfully. Let's pray. Our Father, we know that You are a great, awesome, and magnificent God. And Lord, we recognize that whatever skills, abilities, talents that we have, that You are the one who knit them into us. You wove them into us. And You gave us those skills and abilities because, Lord, You desired for us to use them in whatever environment that we are in Your, for Your honor and glory. And so I ask, Lord, that as we give careful consideration to the final hours of 2017, and we anticipate the coming of 2018, that it would be Your Spirit that bears witness with our spirit. And it would be our spirit that responds appropriately to that which You whisper in our ear. As we even here today say, God, we want 2018 to be a year in which You are glorified in all that we say and do. And we're not sure what trials we might go through. We're not sure what blessings we might receive. But whether it be good or whether it be bad, that our Father, we want You to be glorified in us and through us because we trust You as our Heavenly Father. Thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. I ask Your blessing upon their new year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.